You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, and this sunny Easter morning, we are talking about opioid epidemic and how to, well, first of all, the medical industrial complex's response to it, but also, this is our second hour, so now we're talking about how you can avoid being a victim. And in our third hour, we're going to talk about, we're going to answer questions, yes, questions. Okay, so this more applies actually to acute pain. So you've had your water, you've done your enema. The next thing is to lower your diet for the day. Most people, again, this really applies more to abdominal type pain. But let's say, let's finish abdominal pain. So lessen your diet for a day. Give yourself a break. Drink water. Usually, abdominal pain that showed up after you woke up in the morning will be gone the next day with just that approach. That's really it. Now, same pain, same situation. Go to the emergency room. You'd be in the operating room by sundown. Again, same pain, pain that would have gone away with hydration, basically. Now, I'll tell you a story of what happened. It actually happened in my medical practice. This was back in 1998. So back in 1998, I would take off a week, twice a year, and I would go into the woods. No telephone, no electricity, no running water. I'd, take some food and a couple jugs of drinkable water, and if I wanted to bathe, I would go to the stream, get a few buckets of water, build a fire, heat up the water, and take a shower with a water flower sprinkling can. All right, so this is what I did for a week. And I would just relax and decompress for a week. That's what I would do. So while I was away from my week, one of my patients developed incredible, terrible abdominal pain. She goes to the emergency room. Now, she's your classic, fair, fat, fertile, 40, fried foods, right? Okay, so really straightforward, obviously, is her gallbladder. But again, I'm in the woods. So she goes to the emergency room, and they give her the story, and they tell her, you've got to get this thing out. It's an emergency right now, or you're going to die. And she said, wait, call my doctor, call Dr. Daniels. So she calls the office, and my mother happens to be sitting there in the office, just catching up on paperwork, and she gets this frantic call, and it's like, oh my God. And, of course, I was totally unreachable. And so my patient said, look, don't doubt anything you're saying. However, I will not have any surgery until I talk to Dr. Daniels. And so she sat there, and they gave her IV fluids, and they threatened her and intimidated her. And she says, I'm waiting until I hear from Dr. Daniels. So I emerged from the forest, because it's up north in New York State. They call it a forest. It's not called a jungle. I've looked up those words, forest and jungle. It's not any difference. But anyway, I emerged from the forest and came back to civilization. It's just all these messages, frantic messages. And her pain had gone away by the time I showed up. But they would not let her out of the hospital. So, nope, you can't leave the hospital because you're not eating yet. And so now her problem was, how do I get out of here? I said, here's the deal. Call up somebody you know. You need a really close friend here, to a partner in crime. And here's what you do. Tell the person to juice some carrot juice for you. I think I just told her carrot juice. It's a plain old carrot juice. You can dilute it with a little bit of water, but that's what they bring to you. Bring you a whole quart. And then they sit in the room with you, and the doctor brings whatever meal he's bringing for you. You sip the carrot juice. They eat your meal. You'll do just fine. You should be home by morning. And so, of course, the medical staff thought that she'd eaten the meal when really her friend had eaten the meal. And so she was out of the hospital, and she did just fine. So even acute gallbladder episodes, they're temporary. It's like pain when you have a baby or pain when you have a hard or large bowel movement. The body experiences this pain as it's attempting to solve a problem. So that's the acute pain, and that's abdominal pain. What about other pain? And all pains in the abdomen, right? Maybe it's a headache. There are people, believe it or not, who take narcotics for headaches. I never heard of such a thing. This to me was just, I don't know. So why would anybody get a headache? There's not too many reasons for a headache. The number one reason for a headache is dehydration, not enough water. So the first thing you do when you even feel a headache coming on is to drink about 12 ounces of water. Wait about 5 or 10 minutes. If the headache is gone, you're done. If it's still there, then drink another 12 ounces of water and repeat this till a total of 6 glasses is taken or the headache is gone. Usually the headache will be gone. Now, whenever you get a headache, you need to stop. Stop right then and there and think. What did you eat or do in the last 10 hours? Because whatever it was, that's what caused the headache. Now, for some people, it's a glass of wine. Some people, it's a cup of coffee. For other people, it's cheese or dairy products of any kind or yogurt. So if there's something you did or did not do in the past 12 hours that caused that headache. So maybe you didn't have enough water when you woke up this morning. So for a headache, you have got to stop. What is it that tripped this headache? And then you have to address that. Immediately getting rid of the headache, though, is very simple. It's, just usually drinking water. Now, that's your general headache. There's another kind of headache, which is a sinus headache. For that, that's often triggered by inhaling something. So maybe inhaling allergens or air pollution or perfume, someone else's perfume, or it could even be someone else's essential oils, in which case just wash yourself, your nasal passages and sinuses with a neti pot. That's 2 teaspoons salt, 1 quart of water, heat it to 105, 110 degrees, and 1 pot full of this nostril, 1 pot full of the other nostril, alternate back and forth, until the quart of water is gone. So if there's any sediment in the bottom of your glass of water, you don't want to use the sediment, just use the water. So that's for sinus headaches. Now, if you have a chronic headache, oh my God, I have headaches all the time, they're coming. You messed up a long time ago and you're kind of behind the eight ball. And so for that, the simplest thing to do is to use neti pot and enemas daily. And over time, the headache will go away and then just never come back. The other thing that's going to happen is you knock your headache down to where you can actually perceive pain-free periods. You're going to be able to identify your triggers and eliminate them. All right, so that's pain in the head and pain in the stomach. What about extremity pain? Most extremity pain is traumatic. And so what happens is you got hit. Maybe you fell, like I fell off the mountain, for example, and I had a little bit of pain when I fell off the mountain. For acute pain, the most important thing to realize is stop whatever caused the injury. So in my case, I fell off the mountain, like, we're not climbing any more mountains for a while. I'm not going to re-injure it. So that's important. Now, you say, well, Dr. Jones, that's so obvious. No, it's not. Some people are typists. And every time they tap a key, they're injuring their finger and moving their wrist. And they're doing this all day long. And so they get pain in their wrist or in their fingers and joints here. But every time they keep typing, that's a re-injury. Totally unnecessary nowadays. when you have speech-to-text programs. You do have to train the program to do the speech-to-text, but that's one way to stop injuring the joint. So you've got to stop the injury. And this is for extremity pain. Maybe doing yoga poses and your ankles, knees, and wrists are hurting, you know, from your downward dog or your child pose or whatever. So stop the injury. That's number one. The next thing to do once you stop the injury is examine your diet, figure out what liquids you're drinking, and convert as many of them as possible to water. So water relieves pain. Tea with sugar or even honey causes pain. Soda pop causes pain. Coffee causes pain. Alcohol causes pain. So you got to get rid of these beverages and convert them to water. Even if the best you can do is diluting them with equal parts of water, that's a very beneficial start. And so take yourself off these beverages onto water. The next aggravator of extremity pain or generalized body pain is cigarettes. Stop it. Stop smoking cigarettes. Let's say you can't stop. All right, I give you that. Switch to American Spirit, which is organic tobacco with no additives, or switch to vaping, V-A-P-I-N-G, that's electronic cigarettes, either one. I can't tell you the people in my practice who came to me hooked on narcotics. They were shocked, absolutely shocked, that they could stop the cigarettes, stop the alcohol, drink more water, eat organic foods. Poof! The pain from that car accident 10 years ago, the pain from whatever they want to say it was from, is gone. It's just gone. One lady, she came to my house, knocked on my door, sat at my kitchen table and said, "Dr. Daniels, I want to tell you, I am amazed. I'm amazed. I've been taking these narcotics for so long." And people are stunned. They have no idea the contribution these simple things are making to their chronic pain. And so the cigarette thing is the hardest habit to quit. But now that there's organic tobacco, now that you can vape, it's a very simple one to get rid of. The alcohol can be difficult, but that's actually pretty easy to get rid of. Just take B-complex vitamins and magnesium oxide, 800 milligrams a day, and you're good to go. Most people, if they do that daily, then their desire to smoke, I mean to drink alcohol, just goes away. So you've got to take matters into your own hands. You've got to realize that your pain is of your own making. And the question to ask yourself about your pain is not, how do I get rid of my pain? Oh, no, no. Wrong question. Because obviously, killing you would get rid of your pain, right? But that's not an acceptable answer. So you have to ask a different question. The question is, what am I doing every single day that's causing this pain? That's the question. What am I doing every single day that's causing this pain? And the answer to that question will lead you to become pain-free. So many people say to me, "Oh, Dr. Daniels, how can I get rid of this pain? Oh, how can I get rid of that pain?" Getting rid of the pain is not what you want to do. To get rid of the pain, if you're willing to accept all answers to that question, one answer to that question is to kill yourself. And that one answer, taking narcotics, is an acceptable answer to that question. And so you want to ask a question that's going to move you forward, that will get rid of your pain, but will not kill you. And so you need to rephrase whatever question you're asking. So the best question to ask about your pain is, what am I doing every single day that's causing this pain? That's number one. Number two, how can I reverse what I've already done to create this pain? For example, let's say you have a bottle of ketchup, tops off the bottle, and boom, 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 ketchup all over the floor. Putting a top on the bottle, which is to to stop what caused the pain, yay. But you still have a floor full of ketchup, right? So how do you clean up this mess? That's a different question. But you cannot make headway cleaning up the mess unless and until you stop what caused it, until you put the top back on the ketchup bottle. Okay. So how do you clean up the mess? And cleaning up the mess actually is pretty simple. You can soak in Epsom salts, 4 cups of Epsom salts, tub of water. Any temperature, 78 degrees or higher will do. Some people are so toxic and so sensitive that they can't handle a tub temperature of 105 degrees. And so what you have to do is start with a temperature you can handle, soak daily, and increase that temperature gradually to what you're able to handle. And what that does is it pulls the chemicals out through the skin that are causing your pain. A lot of people say, well, Dr. Daniels, what about surgery? Shouldn't I have surgery for my pain? If surgery got rid of pain, then yes, that would be reasonable. But most surgery that's done for pain is not any better than placebo. In other words, it's not any better than doing nothing at all. So I don't recommend surgery for pain. Also, I sent so many patients in my medical practice for that miracle pain-relieving surgery, and it didn't work. And then they're back in my office complaining of pain again. And so, of course, I stopped making that referral. And so during my time as a practicing medical physician, I had to develop all these ways of getting rid of pain. So soaking in Epsom salts, yay. Castor oil, awesome, awesome pain relief. Again, we're assuming you've already drank your water, you've done your enemas, or you're continuing to do your enemas, you switched your diet to 100% organic, so you're not putting in pain-causing chemicals, and you're pooping, let's say, 3 times a day. So you got this going on. For most people, that alone is enough to relieve their pain. But why stop there? So if you still have pain after doing all of that, you may want to add turpentine. If you'd like to add turpentine before you do that, definitely go to vitalitycapsules.com. Download your free report. That's vitalitycapsules.com. I'll type it in the box. VitalityCapsules.com. There you go. And that's your free report on turpentine, and that's called the Candida Cleaner. And it is awesome, awesome for getting rid of pain. Now, what if you've had surgery and the surgery that you had caused your pain? Maybe you had Marlex mesh. Maybe you had some reconstructive surgery with holes drilled and things put here and things put there. Unfortunately, the relief of your pain may involve reversing your surgery. In other words, taking out whatever caused the problem. And so let's say you had Marlex mesh for your hernia. You have to make the decision, which would you rather, the hernia or the pain? And there are great prosthetics. Trusses, it's called a truss. And what the truss does is it gives you support in the area of your hernia, whether it's an abdominal hernia or an inguinal hernia. And it may be preferable to wear a truss as needed for your hernia instead of having the pain. And by the way, that was the old-time solution for hernias. No one got surgery for hernia. You just wore a truss. Very simple. All right. Okay. All right, reading some stuff in the chat room. If you'd like to join the chat, it's healingwithdrdaniels.chatango.com, and people are posting some pretty entertaining stuff. There you go. That's the chat. Okay. Let's see. All right. So that's how to get rid of chronic pain. Now, a lot of people have, specialized pain. Fibromyalgia, for example. Again, same applies, only for fibromyalgia. Take the next step, use turpentine, get the report. All right. So if you've removed your Marlex mesh and it's not helped yet, then you need to go back through the steps that I outlined. So if indeed they did remove your Marlex mesh, and there's a possibility they did not remove your Marlex mesh, get a copy of the surgery report. And you'll read the part where attempted to remove Marlex mesh, remove most of it, some fragments remain. So get the operative report to find out what really happened. Did they remove your Marlex mesh, or did they attempt to remove your Marlex mesh? So that's important to know. A lot of times people don't know what really happened in the operating room. And so get a copy of the operative report. Just by the way, so when you're in the hospital, about the only thing that really counts is a list of all the medicines you received while you were in the hospital, the discharge summary, and the operative report. Everything else is just a bunch of chit-chat chatter. And a lot of people just really have no idea. They have no idea what happened in the hospital. None. And they'll send me the operative report, and I get the operative report, and I say, did you know that this or that happened in the hospital? They're like, oh, no, I had no idea. So get your operative report and read it. If you need me to help you out with that, I need a discovery session. That's sign up for a discovery session right there, and I'll go over your operative report, your discharge summary, and put it in English for you, explain to you exactly what it means. And a lot of times that's extremely helpful for people to know what really happened. And it also gives them a different path going forward. So what other kind of pain is there? It's pain of the bladder. There's heart pain, lung pain, abdominal pain. Again, all of these pains respond to the same thing: hydration, enemas, precipitating factors, and to get rid of any factors that worsen the pain, which means you've got to pay attention. I've given you a short list of foods that usually make pain worse, but, everybody has their own peculiarities, and there may be a food that sets off your pain that maybe I haven't mentioned. Maybe peanut butter sets it off. Maybe eating nuts sets it off. So you need to be very meticulous. Keep track of everything you put in your mouth. And then when the pain flares up, look back over the prior 3 hours of your food diary. Say, something there caused it. All right, we have a question from Vivian in New York. Hi, Vivian.
Hi, Dr. Daniels. I have several questions. You can stop me if there's too many. I just started the turpentine protocol about 2 weeks ago. This is the end of the second week. And there's some other questions first, though. I just want you to know that I did start that. You had told me before when whatever foods I'm eating, it should be locally grown. And if I live in New York, if I live in New York City, does that mean just New Jersey, Connecticut? What about Virginia, Ohio? Those places are no good?
Not Virginia. Okay, so here's the deal. Crossing state lines is what makes food deadly.
Okay.
How come? Are you curious?
Excuse me?
Are you curious why crossing state lines makes food deadly?
Okay.
It's transported in a contaminated truck. So when food crosses state lines, it's transported in trucks, and these trucks are contaminated with anything. They're contaminated maybe with raw meat, and now they're transporting vegetables. It's contaminated with poisonous chemicals, and now they're transporting food. So the food crossing state lines is what makes it deadly. And so in other words, if you're in the New York City area, you should try eating some food maybe from upstate New York.
Right. Well, then in order to do that, you have to, if I go to a farmer's market, which is right here, then I have to ask them, where are you from? And then if I go to Whole Foods, which is right here.
Not where are they from. Where's the food from? Because the food might not be from where the farmer's from. So you got to ask the right question. Where's the food from? You don't care where the farmer's from. You want to know where the food is from.
So even Whole Foods, is you don't know where those vegetables are coming from.
Exactly. So I don't recommend anyone shop at Whole Foods. Yeah, I don't recommend it.
Oh, really? I think they lie a lot. They just put a rubber band on something and saying it looks like the one that's not organic. They look the same, and they just put a rubber band around what's supposed to be organic, like celery or something, you know.
It helps to understand how organic food is shipped. So I started a organic food co-op back in the 90s, and I would order 40-pound boxes of potatoes, 50-pound boxes of this, and blah, 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 and cases of that. So all this stuff would come, and how did this and I only ordered organic. I ordered nothing but organic. If it was not organic, I did not order it. Okay. So in my case, there was no confusion. But when I opened the box, what I found was a box full of produce and a fistful of stickers for me to put on the produce. So organic produce does not arrive so labeled. And that creates a big integrity issue. It's like, whoa, what could I do with these stickers? So, of course, I gave the stickers to my kids, and they put the stickers all over their forehead and every place, and they had a lot of fun with the stickers. But it helps to understand how the produce is shipped. And so when you go to a store and buy organic produce, there's a huge, huge trust factor. And so you still haven't really solved your safe food or healthy food situation.
Okay, I guess I have to go to the local farmer's market. It's probably the better deal because they have to drive in from somewhere as opposed to...
No. You have a person and you can ask him, where is his food from? Like, for example, the farmer's market in Syracuse, New York, their food came from all over the world. And the farmer, we'll call it the vendor, would show up at 7 a.m., pick his food from different trucks as to what he wanted to have on his stand, set up his stand... Mm. And people would walk by thinking that this stuff was locally grown when really it wasn't. So there's a whole lot of questions about the farmer's market, but you can more quickly resolve those concerns than you could, say, at a larger store.
Right. Okay. My next question is, I'm not sure, but I'm somehow thinking I might have a leaky gut because I was reading this book of Dr. Gundry, A Plant Paradox, and he talks about lectins and all the vegetables with seeds you're not supposed to eat. And I'm saying, well,
burn the book, throw away the term leaky gut. It's a totally useless term. That's not relevant. What's relevant is, what are your symptoms? What are you trying to address? A lot of things cause leaky gut. Poor diet can cause leaky gut. Parasites nibbling a hole in your gut can cause leaky gut. So the fact that your gut is or isn't leaky is irrelevant. We're going to commercial. We'll be back after commercial.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniel, and you're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniel. Okay, we are back, and we're answering questions, and we have a question from Vivian. Vivian, we have another caller on the line, so you have two more questions. What are they?
Okay, I have two more questions. Okay, well, you had mentioned something about the symptoms, and for years now I've been going to the doctor and saying something is wrong, my stomach, something is wrong, it just blows up, even in what I've done fasting, when I've done green smoothies or whatever. I also have had for years, I've had a hair loss, and I was with alopecia and discoid lupus, and it's really not coming back yet. And sometimes my head just itches, and I was using some product, and it looks like it started going away. But, it's still there, and no hair is growing. There's just so much there, and I'm saying, what is wrong with my stomach? And I also had been diagnosed with a diastasis recti from lifting heavy things, heavy patients, and so forth. So will the turpentine, I'm doing that, I'm wondering, will that help, or will that get rid of the bloated stomach? I eat a little something after I fasted or whatever, and the stomach just blows out. And I'm
right.
Sure I have mold.
So what's the diet? Are you following the diet in the Candida Plenary Report?
Back in January, I started
the
whole thing.
The answer is yes, no, or maybe.
yes, for the first couple of weeks, yes. But the past few days, I went into, according to that plant paradox, I started having buffalo mozzarella, sheep yogurt, and kidney beans the last few days. Huh?
How's that working?
What did you say? Well, I'm still going through. I feel nauseous after I have the turpentine, and I did get a headache yesterday. But I've been doing the bowel movements. My food is not digesting, because I'm noting since I've been doing the turpentine and I do my stool, I can see particles of leaves of the vegetables and undigested food in the stool. No worms or anything, but I do parasites.
Focus. We're just focusing on your symptoms. First of all, what do you have? Answer, you got syphilis, all right? Syphilis. So what's the cure for syphilis? Cure for syphilis. And if you go back to how they cure syphilis in the old days. In the old days, they cured syphilis with a simplified diet, like in the Candida Cleaner and turpentine. That's it. Here's your answer.
Oh, so all of this will just go away, the bloated stomach, everything, just with the turpentine and the castor oil?
Correct.
Oh.
And the diet, now the buffalo cheese diet, is not, the adding dairy is not going to help your syphilis.
Okay, what about sweet potatoes, pecans, or kidney beans?
Read the Candida Cleaner, all that's covered in the Candida Cleaner document. Quick answer is no to nuts and yes to sweet potatoes.
And that plant paradox, it says no, nothing with seeds, no tomatoes, cucumbers, no.
Not the plant paradox, right? I found the plant paradox. Read the Candida Cleaner report.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, Vivian. You're welcome. Randy in Iowa. Hi, Randy.
Good to talk to you. I have been got your Vitality capsules and do the turpentine protocol and having great success. Never felt better. And I have, my question is, I respect your opinion so much. I want to know what your take is on the fact that there is overwhelming evidence that non-native electromagnetic field has damaging effects on our biology, you know, with Wi-Fi in schools and cell phones and cell towers and wireless devices, also these smart meters that they're pushing down people's throat, which I'm having trouble with in my city with water meters they're putting in. And they, you know, they've just threatened to turn your water off and all this kind of stuff. And I was wondering what your take was on that.
All right. So you're using Vitality capsules and turpentine and just feeling great, never felt better, right?
Yeah.
And you're still being exposed to all this EMF stuff, right?
Right.
So this EMF sensitivity, we'll call it that, is an interaction between your parasites and these frequencies. You get rid of your parasites, the frequencies don't bother you. That's pretty much, I mean, that's the summary. So I've had clients who've had... you turn on a computer 50 feet away and their body feels it. I mean, they know it. And they do the Vitality capsules, the turpentine, cleansing, and boom, sensitivity gone. So I think you have to focus on you, yourself, and what's working for you. And you've got to realize when you've solved your problem. Yes, these EMFs are a problem. However, if you get rid of the parasites and visitors in your body, these frequencies are a lot less of a problem.
If the parasites are not an issue, it's less of a problem.
If they're not present. A lot of people have parasites. Present. The parasites are no issue. But when they're exposed to EMF fields, the parasites become an issue because of the electrical fields activate them.
Oh, they make them more active?
Yes. Yes. And so basically you got this conversation going on between your parasites and the EMF frequencies. And it's just wreaking havoc with your body. So if you get rid of the parasites, then that whole conversation is stopped.
It's kind of the same with all electromagnetic fields, whether it be the 60 cycle in your house, or I don't know what they have down in Panama for the electricity, but... It's kind of the same thing with the electricity. I mean, electromagnetic field, I guess, is just very different kinds, you know, all through the spectrum.
Correct. Now, the other thing you can do, though, is just being practical, is minimize your use of electricity. For example, I lived in a modern house in upstate New York, and because I was the doctor, our house had all kinds of, I'll call it junk. We had a security system, had climate control, had lights and all kinds of appliances, wireless phones back, this is back in the 90s before the actual portable cell phones. And so one day I realized, I'm just not feeling all that great. I went down to the basement and there's this master plug that the whole security system plugs into, and I just pulled it. And then I got rid of my wireless phones, and I just felt so much better. And I realized that I was living inside of an electromagnetic field all the time that was actually harmful for me. So I minimized my use of electric devices. And even today, still, I do.
Good, good.
And I'll go for a walk without my cell phone.
Yeah. I mean, we have everything hardwired. Our computers went back to the Ethernet wires. Keep your cell phone off or in airplane mode. We do all that stuff. But the funny thing is, with this agenda that there is in the world, they're going to force them down your throat. The FCC just doesn't. They're determined. They say that all non-ionizing radiation isn't a problem, and the FCC okays it, so it must be okay for you. But you and I both know the FCC isn't there to protect us. So, but anyway,
exactly. So you have to do it yourself. But the good news is you can. And the good
they're wanting to put it. They're wanting to put it in your environment, so it's there 24/7, and they're requiring you to do it. Otherwise, they don't give you electricity or water.
So there's always a workaround. There's always a workaround.
And then you can do some blocking.
Not only that, now have cities in the United States that are Wi-Fi free. People have made up their mind, hey, none of that stuff here. So there's always a workaround.
Sure. And then I heard a Green Bank in Virginia where they have that big, it's some kind of a tower or something that where they don't have anything, but that's a small area.
You have to make up your mind that you're willing to live without it, make up your mind what that entails, and then proceed to do that. And a lot of this stuff is exponentially inversely proportional to distance from the source. Dr. Dennis, what does that mean? That means that if the source is 1 foot from your home, you have a certain power, and 10 foot from, what's that, your home, your body, and 10 feet from your body, it's 100-fold less. So it's exponential. It's an exponential decline proportional to distance. And once you get that, inverse proportional. So then, protecting yourself is actually pretty simple.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate what you do so much, and God bless you. And I just love listening to you, and thank you for your input on that. I appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome.
You bet. Bye.
Bye, Randy. Okay, we have got tons and tons of questions. Let's see if we can make a dent in them. All right. Okay, we got that. Dr. Hans, why are so many kids developing peanut allergies? And what can be done to treat it? So the peanut allergies are from the immunizations. The immunizations, they use peanut oil to process them. And the peanut oil is introduced under the skin with the vaccine. So that's it. So to prevent the peanut allergies, just don't get vaccines, number one. So what can be done to treat it? It turns out that if you follow a chemical-free diet, you eat peanuts that are 100% organic, and you do enemas and decrease your overall chemical load, then the peanut allergy goes away. So I immunize my kids. So I have a child who has peanut allergy. And her peanut allergy is actually super mild, but it is there. While she lived at home, she was on a 100% organic diet. That's all I bought was organic food. We had no junk food in the house, no processed food, nothing. We didn't even have sugar in the house. And her peanut allergy did not show up until she went away to college and started eating, we'll call it college food. And I think she might have gotten one more immunization. I don't know. But the peanut allergy is very, very, it can be modified to where it's not even present. And so when she came to visit me in Panama, she said, hey, let's get some peanuts. I said, well, aren't you allergic? She says, yeah, but, you know, it's like, there's a health food store. They have organic peanuts. And they have these organic peanuts. They put them in a hopper, and boom, out comes peanut butter. And so she was able to eat that peanut butter. So peanut allergies can be modified. You just have to do it. Dr. Daniels, big fan. What can I do for eye floaters? They get progressively worse every year. More of them. You can put Vicks Vapor Rub in your eyes, a very small piece each eye at bedtime. Alrighty. Dr. Daniels, can low stomach acid cause any pain? The low stomach acid causes pain on a secondary basis because it permits the parasites to live and thrive, and the parasites basically eat you up and cause pain and causes heartburn. And you can just basically, you know, switch to distilled water, which is acidic, and stop eating alkaline stuff. Very simple. Okay, so nitrous oxide is not an opioid. Nitrous oxide is an agent used for general anesthesia. And they used to have nitrous oxide parties in the United States at the turn of the century before the government outlawed it. Personally, people were a heck of a lot more intelligent, resourceful, and responsible when nitrous oxide, heroin, and cocaine was legal. So I say just legalize the whole lot of it. If somebody wants to use it, they can use it. If they don't, then they don't have to. But now, the stuff is not legal, and if you want to use it, you can't. And if you don't want to use it, the doctor gives it to you anyway. So I think it needs to be legal, so at least those of us who choose not to use it can choose not to use it. And we can say, hey, we don't want it. All right. Okay, we've got tons of questions here in the... This is the chat room. We gotta go to the chat room. And they say you have to be there. All right. Oh, here's this. Being in this chat room has forced me to do more unlearning than anything else. Laugh out loud. And I found that's much harder than learning because I thought I knew something before I found Dr. Daniels. Now I realize just how little I knew. Not so much that, but how harmful it is what you thought you knew. And people meet me and they say, oh my God, I have to unlearn all this stuff. Well, I unlearned it. You can imagine the pain and trauma. I went through the same pain and trauma that you might be going through unlearning all of this. Because remember, I endured 4 years of medical school at great inconvenience to myself to learn all this misinformation. All right, I have a bunch of links here. Hi, Dr. Dans. I'm currently experiencing pain in my left shoulder. I don't think I tore anything. I think it may be due to me wearing a book bag and lack of sleep. Anyway, what can I do to get rid of the pain? Stop the book bag, get more sleep, see if the pain goes away, and you can apply turpentine topically. Also, again, the pain measures I already outlined, drinking water and so on. All right, we have a question about a drug. That was not around. All right, so this person is saying, my mother is taking a drug for type 2 diabetes. Her blood sugar still seems to fluctuate every now and then, and it can give us a scare. What should she do to maintain normal blood sugar level? Your mother's diet is not adequate. There's something she's eating that she thinks is okay that's not. So she's got to take another look at her diet and fix it. And with help of that, she can get a discovery session at vitalitycapsules.com/discovery-session-2. So she first has to confront the possibility she might be doing something wrong and then get help correcting it. Dr. Daniels, what should I do if I think I might have gotten food poisoning? Let's just say you do. Then there's a couple things you can do. One thing you can do is take high doses of activated charcoal. It'd be a teaspoon, a cup of water down the hatch. And that soaks up the bad boys that are causing your situation. The next thing you need to do is make sure you have bowel flow. You've got some diarrhea going on, so just take the activated charcoal, and that'll work, usually work it out. What can I take to relieve sciatic pain? So the question is, what's causing your sciatic pain? The question is, what are you doing to create the pain every single day? So that's what you have to sort out with the sciatic pain. The most common cause of sciatic pain is your diet. So that would be non-water beverages, whatever that is for you. It might be alcohol, it might be coffee, it might be soda pop, it might be fruit juice. That's the most common cause of sciatic pain. So you need to eliminate that from your diet. So dietary things that cause it, there's dietary deficiencies that can cause sciatic pain. The major dietary deficiency is a deficiency of animal cartilage and animal tendons. For this, if you eat chicken, you can overcook it, and then on either end of the bone of your leg bone or knobs of cartilage, you can eat those. Chicken wing, either in the chicken wing bone, knobs of cartilage, you can eat those. So that's the simplest thing. Okay. So we're ready for some unlearning here. Dr. Dance, it is my understanding that addiction is a condition that can be healed if the individual can muster the will to rebalance. I don't know what that means. I've read EMF addiction, like an opioid, creates similar imbalances in the mind. Any thoughts? What is the question? Okay, so addiction can be healed if the individual can muster the will. Answer, no. Willpower does not heal addiction. All right, so what about an EMF addiction? Again, same thing. Willpower, using willpower to fight addiction, I think, is a fool's errand. I would not do it. That's my thought on that. All right. All right. Dr. Daniels, I have foot pain for the past month. It is bearable, but I can feel it throughout the day. I think I may have fractured a bone in my foot while using a foot massager. Is there anything that can be done to heal the injury and get rid of the pain? Okay, so foot massager. Okay, so the foot massager has caused a trauma and damage to soft tissue in your foot. I don't think you have a bone fracture. If you did, you'd know it. You'd be limping. It wouldn't be just a pain. Okay. The simplest thing is to get something called a flat shoe. You can buy this on Amazon for like, I don't know, $15 or so. Let's see if we can find a flat shoe. Foot. You can wear this, but you probably can't wear it up north where it's freezing cold. It's so cold. It's so cold. Up north. All right, so where is the shoe? I want to picture the shoe. Ugh. They sent me to an ortho site. They must be optimizing their internet presence or something. Oh, a typo. S-H-O-E, shoe. All right, here it is. Very simple shoe. And what you do is you put your foot in the shoe, And it causes you to walk basically without bending your foot. And it heals. Oh my God, $79. Jesus Christ. So this is something that they sell on bedbacks.com in Australia, but let's find something in Amazon. See if we can find something in Amazon. Amazon. And this is a shoe. Oh yeah, $17, that's more like it. $18. All right, here, $44. Marked down from 63. Now this is industrial strength, boy. All right, so you can do that. Now the other thing you can do, and you can buy a gallon of castor oil, that running $45, and you put it in a bread pan, fill it up about maybe 3 inches deep, put your foot in, 2 or 3 hours, and it pulls the inflammatory chemicals out of your foot. That's another way around it. Okay, shoulder pill. So Dr. Daniels, why type anything if there's voice to text? Good question. Answer, you're too lazy to train the voice to text program. That's my shortcoming. So I would need to train my voice to text program. And that's got to find time to do it. All right, I got that. All right, we got Vivian calling back. Vivian, how you doing?
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, my other question, while I'm on the turpentine protocol, should I be taking vitamins or am I feeding the parasites?
The vitamins are listed in the Candida Cleaner protocol document. So you have
okay,
a list
only
right
the
there.
One that I should,
yeah,
only
that's
the one
it.
That I should be taking.
Yeah.
Okay, and the external use of the turpentine while I'm taking the turpentine, is that okay for large areas?
Maximum of 1 teaspoon per day, do what you can with it. So maximum for turpentine is what you apply plus what you put in your mouth, add it up, not exceed 1 teaspoon.
Okay. Also, I had what I thought was an age spot on my wrist. And I went to the doctor and I said, well, what is this? Is this a cancer or is this what? He said, well, we'll just keep an eye on it. And that was like 8 years ago. And I put the turpentine, it was a spot. And I put the turpentine on it. And about a couple of days, I just happened to look at it and it's gotten smaller. Still there, but
correct.
It's gotten much smaller, half the size of what it was.
Yeah,
so was that,
keep
does
going,
that mean
it'll be gone.
Is that mold or what is that?
Okay, so if you have a dark spot and you put turpentine on it and it's shrinking and going away, then that spot is caused by a combination of parasites and toxins. Now, the doctor was saying when he told you, oh, we'll keep an eye on it, he's basically saying, well, let's just watch that until it gets really out of hand and then I can do surgery.
Right. Yes, and he keeps telling me about, gastroenterologist, and I had a, colonoscopy. And he was saying, well, you know, your symptoms, he said, well, you go home. He said, oh, the worst that could happen is that I puncture your colon. And if it bleeds, just come back to me. Yeah. So my other thing is, you know, but from listening to you makes me want to move to Panama.
All right. Thank you. Commercial coming up. We'll have to talk after the commercial.
Thank you.
I saw you there. Just standing there, and I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then, and then once again.
said you would come.